You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Who needs Charlie's Angels when you have Lisa's Angels? Welcome to another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we are going to continue our journey through season two of Vanderpump Rules, episode six, titled Lisa's Angels. We're also going to talk about, on the back half of the podcast, Lego Masters Season 5, Episode 3. As always, I am joined by my podcast partner, Mr. Matthew Fox. How are you, man?
Doing pretty good. You know, I'm just glad I wasn't one of the legal team for sure, trying to figure out how to possibly defend against any workplace lawsuits the last two or three weeks, because this has been... you know, hot on the heels of us questioning the workplace ethics of asking your employees to do a striptease. Now it's kind of dancing, and
it's honestly crazy. I just don't know. Wait a minute.
It's terminally awkward.
Exactly. It is. And I'm very... like, what in the world type of thing? Because we talked about it last week and we were like, they're riding a fine line already with last week's episode of dressing up for a birthday party, you know, dressing up and dancing and all this other stuff, maybe being naked, maybe not being naked. But all right, before we get into this craziness in the episode, let's talk Vanderpump Rules Season 2, Episode 6, titled Lisa's Angels. Lisa and the Sir Staff take part in the Gay Pride Parade. I felt like this was fitting watching this episode in the midst of Pride Month. Things turn ugly when Stassi finds out Jax is back to his womanizing ways, which is a very terrible description because Jax is single and can do whatever he wants. If he can sleep with whoever
and
he wants.
He met a lady in a bar and they had a kiss outside the bar. And
yeah,
I mean, it's fair to be concerned that he keeps aiming low 20s, and what, he's got to be like
37, I think it is now, like, right? Maybe like 37, I think.
I think he's like 32.
Oh, 33. Oh, yeah, 33. Sorry, my bad. Let me get... And then Kristen finds new evidence, which is not true, about Tom and Ariana's relationship and confronts them both.
This is like wish fulfillment in a plot description. It's like, what do we wish would happen for us? How do we squeeze more drama out of two of the least interesting situations that we've now built our entire pyramid on?
Yeah. I will say this. This was kind of an uneventful episode, especially being rated 8.0. However, there was some pretty incredible one-liners early on. There's a fantastic dance move by Tom that we'll talk about briefly in just a minute. But
it was interesting, the group of employees she picked to say that they were her most reliable. You know, Tom, Katie's in there, you know?
Yeah.
Tom, Peter. I mean, Peter probably is her most reliable employee, just in the background doing jobs.
Didn't he get yelled at in this episode, I think, right?
I don't think he yelled at for anything that he...
It was like drinking. Somebody was like drinking or something. She's like, aren't you my manager? I thought she said something like that.
Oh, I don't remember.
Neither do I.
It's because they spend way too much time on three people that I've rapidly lost interest in, which is Jax Taylor, Stassi Schroeder, and Kristen.
Yeah, for sure. I do think that this is hilarious. Obviously, the gay pride float was being built. Sheena was going to perform her song, which some of the best one-liners come
from. We needed
from.
A better deep dive into, apparently her song was like an anthem for
gay pride or the gay community. Can we explore
that a little bit more? Because most people looked a little bit shocked that she said that. And what about it?
Yeah, because I mean, Tom said you performed in a gay club in Chicago. Does it make you Lady Gaga?
Once, you performed
in a gay club in Chicago once. Does it make you Lady Gaga? I mean, Tom was like firing in all cylinders early on with these hilariousness. And then Lisa Vanderpump's booty popping sounds like farting was also another classic one-liner early on in the episode. This comes from the same lady 20 years later that doesn't know what ranch is. You know what I mean? Like it's, you know, it tracks that she would not know what booty popping is. So Jax, obviously, we find out has the cyst and is going to be fine. The thing about it was, is when you look at this, and Jax talks about Stassi, right? He said the cancer scare made him realize that life is too short. And I don't disagree with him, right? We talked about this a little bit last week. The way Stassi reacted to him, like we all kind of felt like Jax didn't have cancer, right? Everybody kind of knew it. But yet, what was it, Tom? Tom said something about that, right? What did Tom say? He was like, he kind of knew he didn't have cancer, but we supported him anyway, type of thing.
Yeah, right? You know, like he suspected that it was going to turn out, but it's your friend when they're going through something, you got to be supportive, which is the exact opposite of how almost everyone else on the show has treated it.
Yeah, for sure. Can we talk about the Stranger Things environment, but with grownups, with the three guys, Tom, and Jack? Was Tom, and Jax, right? Tom, and Jax, yeah. Riding their bikes down the road, and then just out of nowhere, we see Tom grab a couple of beers out of his backpack, and the guys are just drinking beers out of paper bags like it's like 1985 all over again. What was this?
I just looked something up because I was curious about that song, which doesn't even make her Wikipedia list. Did you know that Sheena graduated from Azusa Pacific University, which is a giant Christian college in Los Angeles?
I did not know that.
It's going to take me a while to wrap my head around that. 2006 graduate, so, you know, like 6 years before
she
started on Vanderpump Rules, yeah. Or it was at least filming on Vanderpump Rules.
That's actually quite hilarious. Of course, Tom took the shirt off, grabbed the beers out of his bag, and toasted to the boys, telling them about the Pride Festival, which...
Well, and Jack's drawing the line at wearing wings. That to me was a little bit amusing. I'm like, dude, you have no filter. You've had no line, but you don't want to wear wings. And I honestly didn't get the wings motif, you know.
Me neither, really.
None of the people that got called there seemed that comfortable with it. One of them went the wrong route and tried to say they were too cumbersome and heavy. They didn't look heavy. They just looked like awkward. Like, why are we
wearing them? This is where we see Tom do the dance, mocking Sheena's dance of her fantastic number one hit song, the Pride theme for the last 20 years. I forgot the name of the song already, too.
Well, and that's what I was trying to look up, but it doesn't make her, it doesn't even really make her Wikipedia page that I can find here. Dance pop. Is it Good as Gold? Maybe that's, she released several dance pop singles, most notably Good as Gold. So that's got to be the name of the song.
Is it? Are you sure it's that one?
I mean, during her time, she
is known for performing her song "Good as Gold" at Pride parades and events. She also released the song "Apples." What I like, "Good as Gold."
But the "Apples" song was released in 2023.
Okay,
so maybe gets a little bit better because apparently EW called the song kind of a banger. And we wonder why EW went out of business. I no longer wonder. But apparently she did go on to be in a stage play called Sex Tips for Straight Women from a Gay Man. I don't know how it says she could be the star of that because she replaced Kendra Wilkinson.
I know. Moving on.
Wikipedia giving some gems. I haven't gotten over the Azusa Pacific thing. I don't know how to reconcile that.
Moving right along. Where am I at on my notes? I'm so lost. We got Jax is not happy about the wings. Christina, I love the random appearances of people that I've never met or I've seen in the background. Yeah. She calls him out for saying that he doesn't want to wear the wings because of the tattoo. Stassi, obviously, Jack shows off the nice ink. And then, of course, everyone's like, well, lift up your arm or whatever. Lisa said, how sweet. And Lisa said, I guess you guys are together, which was hilarious. Jax is back on the free market, decides to take an old lady, a lady home. I was going to say old lady, but she's not really old.
Old lady, she's 21.
I mean, I was using it as a reference of old lady, like, you know, old Jerry lady Lee home, Lewis? But apparently not. I mean, Jax is back in the free market taking a woman home, I guess.
He didn't I didn't get the sense he took her home. They said that they shared a kiss outside the bar and that was it.
Yeah.
I thought he actually rebuffed that suggestion that they went home. Too, that's why making mountain out of a molehill. And honestly, Stassi keeps saying she doesn't care and yet wants to discuss this all the time.
Over and over and over again. She wants to repeat it as many times as Sheena Songs did on the float, because apparently that was going to repeat
44 times.
44 times, but times two. So
there is no song I would want to hear 44 times in a row that wouldn't, you know.
Stassi's one-liner of saying 44 donkey kicks to my throat was actually pretty funny. All right, so let's wrap this portion of the pod up where we talk about this whole Kristen Tom scenario. So let's set the stage for those of you that probably have already seen it, but we're going to talk about it ourselves later. So Kristen went through Tom's phone. First things first, if a guy has things on his phone that he doesn't want you to find, he's probably not going to be okay with you looking through his phone. Or B, he doesn't give a fuck and wants you to find it and is trying to ruin your relationship. But in this particular instance, she saw the text from Ariana. The text said, I want to be at Coachella. Tom said we can make Coachella in the yard. There was conversations that sounded like literally just friends. And then we see Kristen all mad, all worked up, confront Ariana at work, looked him in the face and said, have you ever hooked up with Tom? Kissed him, fucked him. Ariana looks her straight in the face and says, no. Nothing. And then Chris said she was so chill and convincing that she was convinced that her convincingness was actually a lie. I was very confused by her this theory she was unloading on all of us. What about you, Matt? Were you convinced that you were convinced that convincing of the convincing that Ariana was lying in this situation?
No, I mean they've both been real consistent. So,
and I don't know if they really did do anything. We know that they eventually go on to do things, but I don't know if maybe this led to this happening. But I don't want to know, obviously. But it's like, we'll eventually find out if they really did do anything, because that's what the show does. But if they didn't, I'm wondering if this kind of led for them to kind of go down this path or whatever. And then Kristen tries to do the oldest trick in the book by lying to Tom, saying that insinuating that Ariana kind of admitted to things when she really didn't admit to anything. Tom says, I know you went through my phone. I don't care. Nothing's ever happened. And then Kristen goes, well, what if I had a relationship like this and was talking to somebody, some guy like this, blah, blah, blah. Tom's like, okay. A lot of this stems, I believe, from the cheating situation, and I don't think it helps the scenario, but it's not like Ariana is a new person that is introduced to Tom's life that is making her feel insecure. It seems like Ariana has been around for a few years. If this was, I will say this, Kristen would have a leg to stand on if Ariana was new to the picture and just started hanging around Tom, because you're still kind of fresh off the wounds of having him cheat with a woman, et cetera, et cetera. But Ariana, on the other hand, has been around for a while, so I don't feel like her leg to stand on here is very strong.
Yeah, it's just
exactly.
You know, I've said this before, like they need to, she supposedly, you know, got over it that they were staying together, but all evidence has been to the contrary for most of the season. And yeah. I do feel bad for her.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You have 5 new messages. Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week? Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today. Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust, Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get 1 full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
From the standpoint that it seems like her friends have continued to try to stir up drama in this particular rumor, which may be playing on some of her own insecurities and making her doubt herself. But this was like kind of a new low.
Yeah.
In their relationship. And she then basically tells them, you know, maybe we're not in the right relationship. Maybe you're not, because again, like, people that have something to hide or are doing the kind of pathological, could you imagine Jax giving his phone to Stassi at any point in time? I cannot.
No.
And Tom literally like, oh, I don't care. You have, that's a different kind of relationship. That's like,
he's not insecure.
That's like me and my wife. My wife uses my phone all the time. I don't care. Same. There's nothing she's going to find except for that maybe I'm in 10 more fantasy football leagues than I admitted. You know, nothing. I have no concerns. We know we each have the same passcode, essentially, so that we can go back and forth and do whatever we need to do.
Same.
That seems like the way Tom is approaching things. And you know, if he was ashamed or embarrassed or trying to hide those things, he's not doing a good job. And even when she says, I saw all these, he's like, okay, yeah. And
what? Right.
Yes. Yes. And it's not an improv show. It's just him like,
yeah,
your point being. So I think it's really, she's going to have to decide.
No, we're going to need them to break up because I'm tired of it.
Well, breaking up doesn't solve anything. Look at the Jax and Stassi thing. We've had 4 or 5 times where we thought at least we're finally done with this, and we're never seemingly finally done with it. You know, maybe the end of this season we'll get to a place where we're finally done. I think they've got to be cruising towards some kind of change because it's unsustainable and untenable following these stories.
Yeah, for sure. All right, next week's episode, season 2, episode 7, is called Addicted. We'll give you a brief synopsis right here. Lisa tries to wish Peter a happy birthday, but when Sheena gives Peter an inappropriate lap dance, Katie and Kristen pick a fight and run Sheena out of the party. Stassi accuses Jax of being a sex addict, only to learn Jax may have slept with one of her best friends. This is fantastic. Right, so
did you read the description beyond to figure out which that friend is.
Yeah, Katie, apparently.
Nope.
Oh, Kristen. Kristen slept with Jax. Yeah. Yeah.
Holy buckets.
Yeah, I mean, look, all I know is when I read that synopsis, that just means we're going to get more Jax and Stassi, and it makes me leave a little more less uninterested in what's about to transpire. But,
well, we know Kristen and Jax remain friends for a while because we've seen them on the Valley. But, you know, it seems like Jax and Tom remain friends, but it feels like, you know, because we just saw Stassi on Vanderpump Villa too, that maybe she breaks apart from everyone else, which wouldn't be that shocking seeing some of the behavior.
No, not at all. I mean, not at all. But yeah, I don't know. It's definitely interesting to see what's kind of unfolding in front of our eyes, basically, with these. But all right, that means we got one stop before we move on to LEGO Masters. Who is your MVP for this week, sir?
You know, I think I'm going to go with Katie because she's in that group of reliable and dependable employees. She's just kind of in the background doing her job. Seems to have the most stable relationship of anybody in this group, which is really saying something. You know, just quietly going about her business, tries to be supportive to all of her friends in all situations, which is not easy to do.
Yeah, I actually, you know what? That's actually a fantastic one. For me personally, I'm going to go Ariana this episode. And I think the reason I am is just based off of her reaction to how things unfolded, right? I think to me, that's where the positiveness of this goes. I think that she's done, in my opinion, a pretty good job of not being involved in the drama while simultaneously trying to combat that drama with just facts, pure facts. You know what I'm saying? Like, she hasn't wavered from standing on business and saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I am. And I know I'm not doing this. No, I'm not getting it. I'm not going to be part of your petty drama. And I'm going to continue to kind of be the person that I want to be almost. So that's probably why she's in that mix for me. So, but yeah.
Yeah, she was the other consideration I had. I think those are two people that are just doing their job.
Exactly. Doing their job. All right, let's see here. Let's go ahead and transition into LEGO Masters. We are on Season 5, Episode 3. This week's episode, we saw the Builders with 6 hours on the clock. The remaining teams must tap into their jungle spirit and build a unique, exciting creature. This creature will come to life as it descends on a moving waterfall and is captured in slow motion. And the first time in LEGO Master history, the teams will determine who receives the golden brick and gain immunity against elimination in the all-new Over the Halls episode of LEGO Masters. It aired on Monday, June the 2nd. It's available streaming right now on Hulu. All right. We have seen one elimination so far through two episodes, which was Nick and Kendall. And we know what they're building here. Before we dive into the builds, what were you kind of hoping to see from this episode?
Well, I was hoping probably to see a little less Ian and Sage, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. You know, maybe we can trade them to our other show. That might fit a little bit better. But I was hoping to see some more creative builds. I think you and I talked about the week two builds. They were okay, but none of them were really felt that creative or spectacular. I also like the concept shows when they do like a destruction episode, like this was going to be going down the waterfall. It can be some really fun ones. And I did think we saw some more creative builds. That could also be because the golden brick came back into play. But this was actually an episode where both the team that ended up the winner and the one that got sent home, I thought were at legitimately the best and worst of what we saw this week.
Yeah, it felt like we talked about it a little bit, and you've mentioned it several times now, where you were kind of waiting for that episode to really set the season really up, right? You know what I mean? You were looking for an episode to really set everything up for us moving forward, and you kind of felt like we needed that, and this episode kind of did that. So going through each of these teams, who were some of your favorites? You know, you talked a little bit about your favorite, obviously, but who were some of your favorites in this week's episode?
Yeah, and I liked Anthony and Joe, obviously. They were the winners. I liked their concept with the hair on their lion. I was hoping that they would not only make the top two, but win. You know, I know everybody just automatically thinks Ben and Michael are great builders, and they were the other team that got in there. But I actually liked the other pig design with the hat. I thought that was more creative. I think that was Maya and Jamie. They would have been my second choice team. Some of them were creative ideas that just didn't quite come to fruition. You know, we saw things that didn't quite fly out and didn't quite work. I thought in general they probably picked the right two to be in the bottom two. And, you know, Marcella and Krista seem like nice folks. I guess we'll miss their collection of black and yellow t-shirts to remind us that they're from Pittsburgh. But that design was a little too heavy. I was a little surprised that our wedding DJs, Corey and Rebecca, didn't end up in the bottom two. They went out on a limb with those small legs, and that didn't really work either. Had trouble going down the falls. But it was hard to disagree with the criticism for Alex and Tone. That was one of the worst looking like dragon heads I've seen. I didn't even realize until they started talking about being a dragon that that's what they were building. So that is kind of a bad beat. But I thought most of the builds were interesting and creative and had some interesting stories.
Yeah, I was, so looking at the episode, I'm looking back on some of my favorites here. Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we talk about Ben and Michael, that they're the cream of the crop, right? You know what I mean? That was fun, a fun design. Is it Maya and Jamie, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you. This was my second favorite build on the show. I really feel like they were fantastic. I thought the hat flying off whenever it was, and then the flip that came along with it, I thought that was fantastic. You said Corey and Rebecca. I thought they would be a dud.
They had the thin legs and it didn't make it down either. I thought for sure they were going to be bottom two with the two that went home. In the end, I think it was just they were so put off by the aesthetics of the dragon face.
Yeah, and that thing, like, it just went boom, just went like timber, like straight down for me. But yeah, Marcella and Krista going home, again, you know, it is what it is. I thought that the right team went home. You know what I mean? It was nice to see. There was some fluidity in what I liked in this episode. Obviously, my second was also Maya and Jamie. I thought they should have been in second place. They should have been at a seat at the table. You can tell, though, Ben and Michael, they are looked upon as a threat on the show. I liked what they brought to the table. I just think that there was some, it wasn't as great. And I do think that there is like a jockeying as everybody sees them as a contender based on that, because nobody voted for them. So you thought, you knew for sure Anthony and Joe were going to get the...
I think their reputation is maybe a little bit overblown. And that's a situation where if Maya and Jamie and Anthony and Joe would have been in the top two, I think we would have seen more split votes.
Yep, 100%. 100% agree there. I think that this one gets back on track. Next week's episode should be a rather cool one. We are bringing Wicket to the table. I think this is going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to watching it.
What song are Ian and Sage going to sing?
Oh, my week? God. Please, none. That said, I do have.
There's very little chance it's not.
I'm not sure I can deal with that right now.
They may make 75 defying gravity jokes throughout the episode.
Oh my god.
The producers seem to like them. I mean, they have a lot of what was the family in the White Lotus?
They're talking about Jason Isaacs' family, right?
Yeah, Jason Isaacs' family.
I agree with you. That season was a season for sure. And they are, let's see here, the Ratliff family.
Yeah, they're bringing on the Ratliff sibling energy right
now. For those of you listening still, I do have an interview up with Marcella and Krista to talk about their time on Lego Masters. That's a show we're talking about, not White Lotus. I almost said White Lotus. To talk about their time on White Lotus. We will be back, obviously, next week. We're going to break down more Lego Masters, more Vanderpump Rules. The Snake starts next week. If you're watching Love Island, that is kicked off. That's a show of all shows. So that being said, check out all of the content here. Destination X is another show I'm watching as well. I'm watching so much reality TV right now. I already put my head through a wall, I think. But it's fun, right? Love Island's on 6 days a week. What more could you ask from a reality TV show?
Which day of the week do they take off?
Sundays, I think it is.
Is that because it's the Lord's Day?
It is because of the Lord's Day. There's no making out on the Lord's Day. First episode, lots of saliva was slopped. If you got too close to your TV, you were at like SeaWorld and there was like a no splash zone. So that being said, I'll talk to you guys. We'll be back next week talking more Vanderpump Rules, a little bit of Lego Masters, and a little bit of everything else.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.